And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. I'm saying this show sends its signal like, whoo, way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So, by the way, Boomer, you'll be happy to know the lovely Charlene just texted in and said, I love Oregon's uniforms.
Ha! Thank you. Thank you, Miss Charlene. That's awesome.
Yes. Okay.
So does my father.
Yes. Well, there you have it.
And my grams.
I will say, when they do like those metallic silver helmets with the feathered wings on the side,
yeah,
it's pretty legit.
It is pretty legit.
Yeah. Of course, they also need to get smacked down pretty hard for wearing something like that on the field. But anyway. Still looks pretty legit.
Looks good.
Yeah. They're pretty general, but can they fight? That's what I want to know.
Fighting ducks.
All right. Hey, listen. Number one, triple dipper. I'm calling this the common defense. So you've all heard the preamble to the Constitution. And the preamble to the Constitution is not the law itself. It's just, it's the setting of the stage, if you will. It's what clarifies what is known as the legislative intent, which in this case was the Founding Fathers. So the framers of the Constitution, and we have that quite often in things that we pass, you know, in Montgomery, starts off with findings or legislative intent, and sometimes even in court cases. We will look to see if a matter is gray, you may say, Your Honor, but we can look further. We can tell that the legislative intent was the statute should read as this, or the provision added to the Constitution should say this. Well, legislative intent matters. Like I said, it's not the original law, but it's the intent. It's the purpose. And the Founding Fathers chose for our U.S. Constitution to have a preamble that said, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Beautiful words. And as I was thinking through some things this morning getting ready for the show, it occurred to me that for the common defense, I mean, people often think of what I just read to you as, well, that's the Constitution of the United States. I mean, liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham, he didn't have to worry about that because that's the Constitution of the United States. Really? I don't think that's accurate. Yeah, but Phil, I mean, I live in, and then name your small town. I live in Gadsden, Alabama. I live in Rainbow City, Alabama. I live in Hoover. I live in, pick your spot. I live in, you know, Trinity, Alabama. I live in wherever. It doesn't matter. The Code of Alabama says in Section 11-43A-112 that the mayor and councilman and officer and employees of every municipality shall, that's not a may, it's a shall, before entering upon the duties of their office, take and subscribe to the following oath or affirmation to be filed and then kept in the office of the clerk. What is this? This is the law of the state of Alabama that requires that every municipal official, including the mayor, has to, here's the quote, quote, solemnly swear or affirm that I am eligible for the office of, name it, and will execute the duties of same according to the best of my ability, and that I will support the constitutions and will obey the laws of the United States and the state of Alabama, and that I will in all respects observe the provisions of the ordinances of the city of, blank, and will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of, blank. All right, why am I reading you that? Because of the key provision there, that I will support the constitutions, plural, meaning the state of Alabama, the Constitution of the state of Alabama, and the Constitution of the United States. So when the mayor of any municipality, and I don't care what size we're talking about, says, I hereby swear, solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the constitutions, you have to look back and then see what the constitutions say. This is not just a formality. This is an oath of office. This is a, I solemnly swear or affirm. This is, I will be held accountable to this. This is, if you think I'm doing a bad job, here's your measuring stick. And the Constitution of the United States, that every single municipal officer in the state of Alabama is required to uphold or defend, clearly provides for the common defense. Well, how does a mayor of a small town provide for the common defense, Phil? They don't have an army, don't they? Don't they have a police force? Don't they have a fire department? Don't they have an oath of office that said they'll provide for the common defense, by the way, which will also ensure the domestic tranquility and promote the general welfare? Don't you think that for in some way, in some capacity, that the mayor of your town, if he's calling to defund the police, if the mayor of your town is advocating for not enforcing the laws as to, I don't know, pick one, Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, hey, let's excuse everybody who's ever been arrested for marijuana. It's still a breaking of the law. Yeah, but you know, I just don't agree with it. That wasn't your oath of office, sir. That was not your oath of office. And oh, by the way, while we're just talking about it, how about you work on the murder rate in your city? Well, okay. Here's, let's see, which one do I want? I'll pick this one. Here's a story from December of this past year. Pretty lengthy piece done by AL.com. And the headline is, as homicides rise to historic levels, Birmingham police face a staffing crisis. Provide for the common defense. So it starts off by saying, what makes a 20-year-old fresh out of high school sign up to be a police officer in the city with the highest number of homicides in Alabama? Well, this one particular kid, thankful for him, he's now Officer Franklin. He's 20 years old, sworn in right before the article was written after graduating from the Birmingham Police Academy. It says the Birmingham Police Academy graduation ceremony on December 9th of last year revealed a glimpse of a mostly hidden problem, that there aren't enough new officers joining the force. In that particular class, there were only 4 new officers who graduated to join one of the largest police forces in the state of Alabama. It says, while the new graduates were celebrated and welcomed to the police force, police department, the size of the class raises some qualms about the future of a force facing a staffing crisis as the city approaches the possibility of setting a record for the most homicides in Birmingham history. Provide for the common defense. It says, over recent years, academy classes are getting smaller, from 24 or more graduates to single digits. It's reached the point now where the training staff of instructors oftentimes outnumbers the trainees. As the Birmingham Police Department shrinks by attrition, with as many as 30 to 60 officers leaving each year, there are not adequate numbers of new police officers coming in to take their place. Birmingham leads Alabama cities in the number of killings, with more than 135 homicides last year, and more likely by the end of the year, threatening the city's record of 141. If I'm not mistaken, it did break the record. This is, while the department has what city officials believe is a sufficient budget, adequate staffing remains the question. It's been difficult to find new officers. And the FOP, which is the Fraternal Order of Police, has complained about working conditions now for officers who are forced to cover more hours and more territory with fewer badges on the street. The blue line is being stretched too thin, they say. And in October of last year, the FOP released a statement to the media saying the Birmingham police force only has about 500 officers and fewer than 350 are available for patrol. They have a budget that allows for 1,091 employees, of which 720 would be sworn officers, and at any given time, they're at half that or less. Says the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests of the George Floyd killing by Minneapolis police resulted in nationwide calls for defunding the police. A negative perception of the police has been a challenge even longer, though, notably since the shooting of Michael Brown in 2014. Yeah, all of that stuff that culturally happens, where the police get blamed en masse, despite the fact that even if it was a problem, it was still one officer, not all officers. When you sweep in and you say, let's defund the police, and the mayor cows down to it and goes, let me kneel with you, please, at the steps of City Hall. Don't you see me? I'm with you. How's that work out? Well, what it means is you have chosen not to provide for the common defense. What you've chosen to do is sacrifice your own, you know, virtue signaling opportunities as being better than providing for the common defense. Folks, I'm telling you, when a city official lines up to run for office and then gets sworn in our state, and I guarantee you if we look around, we'll find the same elsewhere. In our state and all around, it's not just the president who swears an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. It's the mayor of your small town. is required by Section 1143A-112 of the Alabama Code to swear or affirm they will support and defend the Constitution, the same Constitution that requires them to provide for the common defense. And the common defense, y'all, is not just military action on foreign soil. The common defense is the safe streets of our communities. A mayor's ability to support and defend the Constitution comes down to his or her level. Period. Tell you what, I've got several examples of why this is a thing around the nation, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break right now. We'll take that break and come back, and I'm in it, y'all. I'm in it. I mean, just jump in there with me if you want to, but I am in it. For the common defense, this is not a small thing. You should expect this. If it's not there, you should go and ask for it, and you should remind them. Your oath of office said that you would. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Every once in a while, I look up on the screen and realize we are onto something here, because right now, the story on Fox on the screen up here in the studio is the defund police movement haunts Democrats as crime crisis rages across the nation. I'm just saying. And a former NYPD lieutenant is on the air talking about that very thing. Just tune in to Right Side. You get all the stuff, man. Brand spanker new in the text lines. Tim from Madison. Glad you're there. He says, same as the oath you mentioned for all elected persons, we should remember it's also in the naturalization oath of allegiance to the United States of America to be a citizen. As a citizen, we're also responsible. Tim from Madison. Cool text. Appreciate it. Thank you, Tim. Brand spanker new in the text lines also is Morgan from Fort Myers, Florida. Really? Morgan, glad you're on the text line. So this is Morgan from Fort Myers, Florida. I moved from Portland, Oregon 20 years ago. Lifelong Ducks fan. Deion Sanders went to high school in North Fort Myers. I think Puddles will be doing a ton of push-ups this week as the Ducks hand prime the humbling he needs. I love your show. Nice. Well, good on you, Morgan. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you dialing us in there. Morgan from Fort Myers, Florida. How about that? Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, unfortunately, Birmingham is a lost cause. I lived there for 30 years. I now live in Huntsville. Couldn't be happier. It's a city with people from all over the world, and we have good leadership. Steve, I am with you, brother. I love Huntsville. I've got a lot of family there. Did a lot of my growing up there, but I did a lot of my growing up in Birmingham also. I am not going to write the city off. It's we need to reclaim it, is what I'm saying. And I know you feel the same way. I'm not saying you don't. But anyway, David from Huntsville has given me a link to something. Thank you, David. I'll check it out. He also took issue with me saying something about Alabama and Auburn. Auburn at least has an excuse that it's a building year. So a guy named Alan Treadaway, he's a good dude, served in the Alabama State House. He was a retired deputy chief for the Birmingham PD. And you can usually count on Alan to bring, you know, the legislation that the police officers are looking for. Story here from May of this year on CBS 42 says that an Alabama lawmaker is sending a message to local governments with a new bill. If you defund the police, you risk being defunded. Said a new bill proposed in the Alabama legislature would forbid local governments from defunding the police without risking state funding for a variety of services. Representative Alan Treadaway, who retired from law enforcement following a 31-year career with the Birmingham PD, is sponsoring the bill. So I will tell you this. I don't think the bill passed. And the reason being is because you get into a very difficult position when Montgomery tells local communities how they can budget. All right? Now, I know what he was trying to do here, and I agree with it. I agree with the sentiment completely. If you guys are going to screw around and defund your police because of some social activist that showed up at your city council and made you scared, well, then guess what? You don't need money from the state because apparently you've got enough money. You can defund your police. Don't come asking for things from us. And that's what he was trying to do. And of course, he was taking all kinds of heat for it. And it exempted small towns. Like if you only had 20 or less officers, it was not going to be, you know, on you. But I look at that as the kind of thing you got to start getting people's attention. And here's another thing, by the way, that just shows that it's tough right now in Jefferson County. So a story on 1819 News, Charlene sent this to me. It came out yesterday. Says a deputy who spoke to 1819 News about crime in Jefferson County says he was attacked by a relative of a local judge and the deputy chief. Wow. And the story is pretty legit, and it's pretty awful. And he sustained some pretty serious injuries. So, and this particular guy had spoken to 1819 News about crime going on in the county, and then he winds up being the one who's attacked. His name is Deputy Clint Bowden from the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. And he had just recently described a rising crime rate and dwindling deputy count to 1819 News for a story. And then this past weekend, he got called out at 7:30 a.m., to an area that's not as usual over in the Clay area. And when he got there, there was a man who was throwing things at cars and making a scene. The man threatened him, charged at him when he approached it, and he said the suspect then tried to take his gun away. He had to tase the subject. The taser didn't have any effect. The guy was obviously on something. The guy kept reaching for his bag, which it turns out was full of knives. Bowden then called for backup. He said, and this is him, this is Deputy Bowden saying, when he heard the sirens coming, he just bum-rushed me and started beating me in my face. And he tried to get my gun, but he couldn't get it because I got a retention holster. But he was able to knock my taser out of my hand, and then he got the magazine out of my gun. Two other deputies were injured when they arrived on the scene to help with the struggle. Bowden himself suffered a concussion, sinus cavity injuries, and received over a dozen stitches for a deep laceration on his forehead. The doctors said they thought I got hit by a pipe, but I told them no, it was his fist. His uncle and his mother, he said, are being used as weapons against the community. What does he mean by that? He's apparently the son of Jefferson County Judge Monica Agee. I don't know Judge Agee, but Judge Agee needs to answer for this. He's the son of Judge Monica Agee, and he's the nephew of Deputy Chief David Agee. Wow. Dixon said the people from Eagle Ridge Subdivision have been speaking publicly in city councils about this guy who's been terrorizing their neighborhoods. Says the women of the HOA are terrified. They've had several complaints over the last couple of years. He walks the neighborhood constantly, parks in the street, verbally and physically threatens anyone. But he's the son of a judge and the nephew of a deputy chief, and ain't nobody did nothing. If you're going to provide for the common defense, I guarantee you, when that judge and that deputy chief swore their oath of office, it included supporting and defending the Constitution. And it did so to say, and then that would mean supporting the idea of providing for the common defense. You can't let this kind of thing go. You've got an underfunded sheriff's deputy, sheriff's department, deputies out by themselves, 7:30 in the morning, interacting with a guy, having to call for backup, and then it turns out that the guy's been doing it for on and on and on. And oh, by the way, maybe other people who swore the same oath have been giving the guy a bye. We're not the only place in the world, though. Take a look out west. Suspect arrested in ambush killing of an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy. Tragedy this past weekend. As an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy, in a soft-on-crime environment, in a defund the police environment, was sitting at a red light when a guy walked up and ambushed him in his car and killed him. He's 30 years old. He was an 8-year veteran of the force. And he left behind a fiance and his parents and his grandparents. I'm telling you, folks, if you're going to swear that oath, you better remember it includes things like promoting the common defense. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Texter there, Cornelia from Moulton, says, love your show. Stay the course. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Cornelia. I appreciate that very much. We have an amazing audience. Y'all are the reason why we do what we do. I'm finishing up this segment that I'm calling basically, looking at the Constitution and calling it the common defense. And I want to reiterate, in case you're just tuning in, that the preamble to the U.S. Constitution, which specifies that the founders intended to provide for the common defense, that preamble is a part of the same Constitution that every mayor and city council person and local official or officer is required to swear an oath to support and defend, meaning that the mayor of your small town is required by the oath that they swear or affirm, according to state law found in Title 11-43A-112, that they will support the constitutions, meaning the state of Alabama and the U.S. Constitution, which requires them then to consider how they might provide for the common defense. And at the municipal level, to me, the common defense, the general welfare, the domestic tranquility is about how well do you police your streets and what do you do to curtail crime? When you've got situations like this, bless her heart, this lady in Seattle, I mean, have we lost? I just feel like we've lost some municipalities. And I don't want to believe that for a second. I mean, I want our country back. I want all of it. I don't mean like I'm just going to hunker down right here where I am and preserve what I got. I mean take it all back. San Francisco, we want you back. I look at it and think, Chicago, we want you back. Parts of Atlanta, we want you back. We do. Story on Fox News dated yesterday. Headline says, they were laughing. A woman was viciously beaten at a Seattle-area gas station over cash, cigarettes, and candy. So the cashier, named Leah Johnston, was viciously beaten during a robbery at a Seattle-area gas station by a young male suspects who just laughed during the attack. Surveillance video shows one suspect punching Johnston repeatedly in the head, then kneeing her in the stomach as five other men ransacked the store. They got away with less than $100 in cash and handfuls of candy. And yet, she wound up being beaten and left on the floor. Her words, kids don't seem to fear anything anymore. It's like there's no repercussions for them the way there used to be. And that's the truth. If you're going to provide for the common defense, then you can't just keep, they're just misunderstood. We're going to try to have some community intervention staff. Great. We're going to defund the police and put more of it into mental health. Well, put it in mental health for the victims of the crimes. How about that? Well, we're going to make sure that we consider the equities of policing. In the meantime, you've got the story here from New York Post, dated 3 weeks ago. Liberals turn their back on the woke L.A. prosecutor George Gascon as smash-and-grab robberies soar. So, yeah, Gascon was like all the rage when he got elected. Oh, Gascon. He's supported by George Soros. He comes in. He's immediately soft on crime. But then you've got a Nordstrom department store where 50 thugs ran in. It was like a flash mob. 50 of them ran in the door and plundered over $100,000 worth of goods and ran back out, knowing full well they don't have to fare any consequences. And the article goes on to say, oh, and by the way, it points out here, somebody who was calling him out says, since he took office, it's been just the opposite, to a point where we feel like we can't walk in our own neighborhoods anymore. Where's the common defense? I guarantee you he swore to uphold and defend. You know it? I guarantee you that the idea that he would support the Constitution's meaning the common defense meant him too, Gascon. But it says, according to the latest figures released by the LAPD, there have been 8,567 burglary cases logged so far this year, compared to 7,500 over the same time in 2021. It's a 13% increase. Personal and other thefts have increased by a whopping 42% during the same period since 2021. How about this? Article from Fox News, also dated February of this year, in the headline, it was written by Representative Steve Scalise. The headline says, "This is what Democrats' soft on crime insanity does to American families." It says, "Public safety is the foundation of any free society. In the United States, our families deserve to live in safe communities without the constant fear of violent crime and lawlessness." That's right, because you got to provide for the common defense. "In our commitment to America, House Republicans pledge to hold criminals accountable for their actions, support our police departments, uphold the rule of law. Safety and security are what the American people expect and deserve." So as the police are to protect and defend, municipal leaders, we have a right to expect and deserve from them that they will provide for that common defense. Scalise goes on to say, "Growing concerns about public safety are not unfounded. Crime is skyrocketing in major U.S. cities nationwide because Democrats have defunded police departments, ended cash bail, and allowed violent criminals back on our streets to terrorize communities with a slap on the wrist. 15 U.S. cities," he says, "including Atlanta, Austin, St. Paul, Birmingham, saw their homicide numbers break previous records. Homicides have gone up 41% in Chicago, 45% in Philadelphia, and get this, since 2019, homicides are up 236% in Portland, Oregon. 236% increase. There is no one there providing for the common defense for the people of Portland." It says in Washington, D.C., just this year, this is talking about really beginning of this year, "Sexual abuse is up 100%, motor vehicle theft is up 111%, and homicides have increased by 18%. It goes on to say, "This is especially vital that we consider this as we face a war against police officers. Last year, nationwide, 331 officers were shot in the line of duty, 62 of whom died from their wounds. We've also seen a 32% increase in police officers killed by gunfire compared to 2020. This is unacceptable," he says, "and it needs to end." Yes, it does. And the only way it can happen is for folks like y'all to remind your local officials that you expect and deserve that they will support and defend the Constitution, which includes providing for the common defense, and that is not a national military thing only. That is your streets. That is your neighborhoods. That is your ability to expect that you have the opportunity to live in domestic tranquility and have the promotion of the general welfare because you have people elected to your local offices who will provide for the common defense. I'm adamant on this. I don't know if I could be more adamant. I'm just telling you, this is absolutely unacceptable that you will see people swear this oath, which is required by state law, and then decide they're going to not enforce it. "You know, I solemnly swear or affirm that I will support to the best of my ability the constitutions of the United States and the state of Alabama. But I just don't feel like enforcing the laws against marijuana. I'm going to provide a pardon for everybody on that," says Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. "I don't intend to really do much except kneel down when the BLM rioters come to our front door. And I'm going to defund the police. And I'm going to make sure that we don't provide any incentives to help raise up the next class of police officers. And whereas the natural attrition is 30 to 60 officers a year, Birmingham, you just had a graduating class with only 4 new officers in it. That's an unsustainable track. And it's got to get reversed because your oath of office says you're going to provide for the common defense." All right, folks, if that wasn't a 45-minute rant, I don't know what was. I'm going to go catch my breath. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. Time to switch gears. We're going to move to the next one, word benders. How do they get away with this? How do they look at, you know, a storyline that everybody can see it and then tell us the emperor has on new clothes? And we can tell he's naked. Word benders. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.